All right, so we're on a live session, all things telesales. We got Chris Ward here. Win the hour, win the day. Welcome. How are you doing today, Chris?
I'm doing great. I'm thrilled to be here. The more the merrier. I'm all about that.
Nice. Yeah, so as a way of getting started, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so let's see. You want the backstory? Is that what you're looking for? I feel, you know what? I have an obsession about always being the first one here. So when I show up and everyone's here before me, I feel like, oh, I'm late to the party. Because if I'm on time, I'm late. So I'll catch up. So would you like the backstory? Is that what you're looking for, Jake?
Yeah, sure. I know you have an incredible journey that you can share with us.
Sure, no problem. So I've been in business, you know, over 12 years now. And when I started as a marketing strategist, man, those first 2 years, I worked insane hours. As my husband would say, I was always stealing from sleep, getting up earlier and earlier, staying later and later, right? Because, you know, beat your chest, wear that badge of honor. I'm a hard worker. Could not be a better compliment you could give somebody, right? So I was trying to make the business a go, and that was my approach. Moving the story along, you go about 6 to 8 months without sleep and you start to lose some of your charm. You're not as charming as you originally were or thought you were, right? So I started to realize that I was being, you know, really short and impatient with everybody that was cheering me on, supporting me, you know, be like something, we're going somewhere and somebody say, oh, I'm ready. And you get to the door, they don't have their laces done. You're thinking, I could have answered 2 more emails, right? If you read my book, you'll understand that I'm a recovering rushaholic. And there was a few rather serious incidents that literally, I almost electrocuted myself once because I was just in such a rush. So I realized that wasn't working. And I thought, all right, what is plan B? We've got to figure something out. So moving the story forward, I feverishly examined how is it other entrepreneurs were, you know, just seemed to have a better quality of life and doing the successful things that I wanted to do. So I went from, and I'm really simplifying this, but I went from working 16 hours a day down to 6. And the biggest thing that was so shocking to me was how much more productive I was. And I had put some things in play. It wasn't just cutting back the hours. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. So what happened was I just could not believe how I had been working against myself. So things had really turned around for me. And luckily they did, because it was a couple of years after that that my husband was diagnosed with colon cancer. And I was then pulled away from the business for about 2 years. Now, when I returned after his passing, my existing clients had no idea of my absence. We did not feel it would be good for business. We were also very positive in nature. We felt that if the doctors were wrong, we sat around crying, holding hands for 2 years. If the doctors were right, we sat around the last 2 years crying, holding hands. So then when I came back, my existing clients started saying to me, like, you know what? I don't know how you did all that. And I'm missing my kids' soccer games and doing all these things, working day and night. And, you know, you start to feel like a little bit like a drug addict sneaking away just to get an email in, right? Get a hit. So I started working with them, understanding the fragility of life and how important it was. And it just kind of kept snowballing from there. And I really wanted to help more entrepreneurs because, you know, for most of you guys, what's happening is you're doing this in isolation. You think, oh, you know, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs in different levels of coaching because we've got all these different opportunities to work with us. And what happens is they look good on paper. They look good online. They're doing it, but they're slugging it out way more than they should or way longer than they should. And so that's how I decided to write the book. And it just kept sort of the platform grew from there with Win the Hour, Win the Day. There you go.
Nice. Very good. So how does one go about winning the hour, winning the day? How do we go about that?
Well, that's a great question. So what I would say to you is, you know, a couple of things that we really focus on is we focus on, you know, time, your team, and really, you know, then also leveraging the company, right? So what I would say is for so many entrepreneurs, it's that you don't break things down enough. And we'll start with the most basics of your calendar. You start with your calendar, and what happens is people understand that's their time bank account. So for instance, a lot of people will think, oh, well, I don't put that on my calendar because I do that every day. I remember it. And they don't count things that are work, like emails and such. And I would argue that that is very much like saying, well, you know what? My car payment comes out of my bank account every month. I know that, so I don't count it. But that money is still gone, right? And the same thing with your calendar. So what I argue in all your your ambitions, whether it's your team building, whether it's working with super toolkits, all these things that we offer to make your job so much easier, is you need to break it down so that, hey, if you can win the hour, you can win the day. Where so many times we have the big plans and ambitions, but they're just this big clump and you just hope to chip away at it, but you can't improve what you don't measure. So breaking it down to, you know, to simplify that answer would be your first step.
Nice. I like that. Can you elaborate that a little bit more? You can't improve what you don't measure. I like that.
Yeah. So many people, entrepreneurs, you know, my whole philosophy was get out of my way. I could outrun the clock. Right. So, and the problem with that is, you know, I see all this stuff online about grinding it out and being motivated and don't quit. It's like, listen, I have never met an entrepreneur that needed to be motivated in any capacity. They're not lazy. What happens is they're exhausted. They get burnt out, right? That's the craziness. So what happens is you really need to be taking a look and have a real inventory of what it is you want to do, how you're going to do it. And that's where everything goes wrong. There's very seldom a roadmap for this. It's just put your head down, you know. Here's a great example. I want you to imagine, like, I'm holding a football here, but what I would say to you is imagine you're playing a sport and you don't even know what sport you're playing. You're just going to, like, you don't know where you're getting your points from. You don't know how long the game is. You just know you got to work really hard. You're not entirely sure why the ref just fouled you. You don't know. And you think, wow, okay, I just got to go and go harder. And what if somebody sat you down and explained the rules of the game? And more importantly than that, they said, what if we gave you a cheat sheet? And what if we gave you the best plays used by the best players, right? That would change everything for you, right? So you'd understand what everything meant and you'd have a much more clear definition of where you are, what you're trying to do, how you need to get in shape, how you need to improve your game. And that's a lot of information that's missing for the typical entrepreneur. And I would also tie that into one of the things that, you know, I'm very passionate about is not understanding how to build what I call your win team, your what is next team, so you can get to what is next. And that's it. Some people have VAs, some people have people that work with them, but they're not what I call a win team. They're just someone that you're putting tasks on and it's modeling the corporate world, which is a very parentified system. Where, you know, now you sort of babysit them and check on them. And now you have another job and you're watching their work. And what you want is somebody that really launches you forward. Instead of being in a rowboat, it's like you got a motorboat.
Nice. And I know whenever you connected with me on LinkedIn, you had a really nice personalized message. I mean, just came across this excellent skilled communicator. Tell me a little bit, because what we do is telesales, right? So yep. from a communication perspective, we're having to pass on a lot of emotion over the phone and, you know, people don't see us, you know, we operate in like a call center fashion, you know, all things telesales. So how does one, like, with that personalized touch specifically, like that a lot, how can we really convey that type of message over the phone?
You know, that's a great question. And somebody asked me that yesterday. I had responded to them in audio through I think it was LinkedIn. We were talking and I was responding in audio and they were asking me what app I was using. How could I customize it? Like, so that it filled in their name. So they assumed that I had done this audio thing and then it inserted their name and the computer could now have me speaking different names. And I'm like, no, man, I did that. Like, did you not hear my voice? And they're like, oh, we just thought, who would do that? We thought it was very sophisticated. So it kind of lends itself to two things, Jake. One, I would say is back to me having what I call a win team. Then that allows me to do the things that only when Chris has to show up and only Chris can do it. So I am showing up here. It has to be me. When I need time in my calendar so that I can personally reach out to you and whether it's audio or video or whatever, then I have to have time and be, you know, not rushing because that comes out in your tone and your energy and your impatience and your desperateness. So I have it set up so that my team can do a bunch of things for me so that now I can hop on. And then if I'm going to, you know, pitch somebody for something, it's like, oh, the prep work is done. So now instead of taking an hour, it takes me 12 minutes to communicate and be the front person for what I want to do. And I would argue that that setup allows me to be, you know, energetic and calm, and all those things come out in your voice. Because back in the beginning, before I had a team and I'm doing all these things myself, I'm thinking, I got to call 20 people. I got to leave all these audio messages. And I thought I could stuff it down and like smile and there's feel like the blood is racing through my body and I can feel it, but I'll smile and it's going to sound really good. And they won't hear the tension and the stress in my voice. And then they make a dramatic pause and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, talk quicker, buddy. I got 7 more calls to make. Come on, let's go. Right. So I think the setup allows you to present your best self. And when you do that, it's sincere and it's authentic and people will resonate with that.
Nice.
So I see Tara nodding. Good job, Tara. All right, Tara. Tara's getting it.
Tara's fired up.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as like being able to have freedom and all that in our business and being able to have like being the best version of ourselves, right? How do we go about that to win the hour, win the day, being the best version of ourselves throughout the day?
Well, you need to have, we call it the win formula. So most entrepreneurs are clawing their way out of what I call the web of admin. And they are in the web of admin about 80, 90% of the time. So we believe in the win formula, which is 60% creation, 40% admin. All right. You didn't start a business to run a business, right? You started it because you wanted this freedom of choice and creativity. And heaven help us, I hear this all the time. Oh, I'm starting a business because I want to spend time with my family, more time with my family. I think, well, good luck with that. Because that is not usually what the first 5 to 10 years look like. But it doesn't have to be. It should be that way, right? But people, they get on the ride and they don't know how to slow down or get off or anything like that. So with the win formula, what we believe in is 60% of that your time should be in creation mode. And creation mode isn't creative mode. It's whatever your creation is. Maybe you want to start a podcast. Maybe you want to write a book or a second book, or you want to do group coaching. Whatever is the next step for you to have a bigger impact and more, you know, control on your income and your calendar and all that stuff. That's where you should be in creation mode. But here's the secret, Jake. You also want your team to be in creation mode, right? So here's an example. I have a podcast, Win the Hour, Win the Day. And in this capacity, it's just general business. It could be anything from sales to social media. And our big thing is you get a win. When you listen to it, you can go implement something right away. Now we were looking and it's like, oh, we were getting close to 200 5-star reviews. So we'll put something up on Facebook. Oh, we've got a post. Great. So someone on my team comes to me and says, Chris, I found this new application. It's this new platform. And they say we have over 900 5-star reviews. Now, first we thought they were, you know, it was just spam, but we looked and I knew the people and I reckon, and they were, it was clearly, it was real people, real situations. It was all whatever. So then just so you know that I'm a very flawed human being, I was like, oh, we're so close to 1,000. Like that would sound better. Right? So then what happened was in her time with the way her schedule is set up. So it's not, you know, eating up tasks that I assign and they're in creation mode a significant amount of the time. She had found that. I didn't ask her to do that. I didn't know it existed. And it wasn't just us. I brought it to several podcast communities, groups and stuff on Facebook. And I looked like a big old bloody hero. Oh, you're the best, Chris. You're amazing. Because there was all these other platforms that we didn't know were able to capture reviews. We were just checking iTunes and one or two other places, right? So when you're set up in creation mode more than admin mode, you're constantly moving forward in a very significant and consistent manner. So that's what I would argue is most people may have a VA, but that a VA or an outsourcer is not what I call a win team to get you to what is next. And then they're not following the 60-40 win formula. They are trapped in the nightmare of admin. And that's what makes the journey so painful and so slow. And you're not getting the freedom that you're looking for, the options that you want.
Yeah, for sure. And so Steve Jobs had the saying, he said, as far as like being an entrepreneur and being a business owner, 10% is the idea, 90% is the execution. So
yes,
with that in mind, tell us about that. How do we go from idea to execution?
That is my whole thing. Everything is about getting ideas to execution. So that's what I want people to understand is being an entrepreneur. Like you know, you look around and, you know, if you admit, or maybe it's just me, every once in a while you see somebody, you think, ah, how are they getting all that stuff done? And you got a little bit of professional jealousy in your throat. And all they're doing is getting ideas to execution. They're not smarter than you. They don't have whatever you think they have that you're missing. It's just getting ideas to execution. That is the name of the game. And again, in order to do that, you want to have things in play that support you being able to move quickly, consistently, and just getting those ideas to execution. I know for me, when we started our podcast, a number of people had told me I'd start my podcast, and I get to thinking they were being nice. You know, I was a good interviewer, good at being interviewed. You should have your own show. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And then finally somebody convinced me why this would work. So I was like, okay. So I brought it back to my team. And sidebar information for a minute. We get a lot done. We've got a book. We've got a podcast. We have a masterclass actually that we're doing tomorrow. It's the Working Hard Sucks and It's Costing You Money masterclass. We've only done one before. We don't do them very often, but it is free. We always have stuff going on. We have an info product and I have a team of three. So when I say team, I'm all about a lean team, super crazy affordable. You really can afford you can really afford this luxury. If you've got a coffee in your hand, you can do this. So when I presented to my team saying, okay, we should do this podcast, here's why. And they're like, okay, great. So this was like October. So I said, very reasonable. We should do it in the spring. Here's why. They said, well, you have this speaking gig November 14th. Why don't we do the launch date then? And I'm like, that's in 4 weeks. And they're like, well, Chris, we know how to do it. We've got the plan. You wrote the damn book. Why don't we do this? Well, it was really awkward for me to try to argue with them when they were using all my own facts and discussion. So I was like going, oh, okay, we can do this. So we did it. And it was just something we changed the order of our day. And I would do an hour of getting set up for the podcast first thing in the morning. And we launched top 10 in Canada and we were in the top 50 in the US. So I don't mean we just got it up, right? I mean, we did a decent job of getting attention for it and stuff like that. But we did that in 4 weeks. We were able to pivot because we had these super toolkits in play. We had the win team. And that's what being an entrepreneur is about. It's not about like, being just painfully buried and getting bloody knuckles and buying into that grind thing. Like, when you see that online, if you don't remember anything else from today, when you see that online, it's just somebody telling a story and making a hero's journey out of an ill-planned trip. That's really it, right? So I just want people to understand that you don't have to pay those dues or wear yourself out. A business should support your life, not consume it. That's the ultimate message, because it really is. It is everything. Like, you know, It's why you're doing this is you shouldn't be sacrificing your family, your lifetime, and all this other stuff just so that you can have some freedom at work. I mean, my heavens, you could just stay at a job for, you know, take a few extra days off if you're looking for that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what are the best resources that have helped you along the way?
What are the best resources? Well, you know what? I'm a podcast junkie. I love to read a good book. I've had lots of training. I've spent a lot of money on mentors and stuff like that. But I would probably say what I teach my coaching clients when we work with them, whether they're in our winner circle or semi-private or private sessions, is first and foremost, most of the tools that you would bring you, yield you the biggest results are either free or next to free. And if you're looking at the most successful people in the world, they're using all the same stuff like Google Docs and the calendar and things like that. It's so easy. And I did this for years too. Like, you'd be sold some shiny software. Like, listen, it's expensive and it's going to take you 4 months to learn this. But once you do, you're going to put this widget in and it's just magically going to come out the other end and it's going to be fabulous. Now, of course, you have to, never mind invest the money, but you have to wait to find out 4 months down the road that, oh, it doesn't work or it's very time intensive and all this other stuff. What I would say is any tool that's going to serve you, it should be something that is going to give you instant relief. Like, maybe 15 minutes to figure it out. If you have to invest a bunch of time and muscle through it, then that's a new thing you're learning. And there's other things you can put some sweat equity into. So it's things that are free or next to free and give you fast results. And some of them, I'll tell you, the most powerful one of all is that calendar is really a secret weapon that most people don't understand and definitely underutilize. Most successful people will tell you in the world, I do this too, is they say you can look at somebody's calendar and tell a lot, almost everything about their business. It's unbelievable. And when I see someone's calendar, I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. All right, thanks. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So tell us about your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Oh my gosh, this could be a 6-part Netflix series. Okay, my biggest failure. Oh, there's so many. Let's see. I got horror stories, my biggest failure. I think the thing that held me back for the longest was just constantly thinking I could outrun the clock. That cost me a lot. And I think I was always told that I was, you know, very organized and efficient, and I was a go-to person for a lot of people in my life. I got stuff done. So what happened was then you think you could just go faster and reorganize yourself. And so people who come to work with me who aren't organized, they think that's a downfall. And I say, look, that's actually easier, because picture sort of like a screwdriver and a screw in the wall. It's like, I just kind of stripped the screw. I kept just tightening it. You know, I wasn't changing the infrastructure. I was just reorganizing my reorganizing and thinking I could just go faster. And I'm still a high energy person, you know, which everyone thinks that's great. Yeah, try, but you don't shut off really well at night. So it's like, I'm like this at night. So I'm still a high energy person. I still talk quickly and do all this stuff. But when that's your only skill set and you're just trying to like speed everything up, it doesn't make you fun to work with. And then there's this really horrible human being in the back of my head saying, if everybody else just moved at my pace, their world would be better. Like talk quicker, move faster, just let's get going. And that's not the case at all. Like all the best inventions in the history of mankind were done at times of rest or play. That's how the brain works, right? So that hurdle thing, just go, like you're at the entrepreneurial Olympics, run, 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 hurdle, that is working against you. So that was, I guess, my governing and biggest failure. It held me back the longest.
Yeah, for sure. What's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I knew. I really truly did think that when you get to a certain level of financial, whatever that imaginary number was, that's when you started your team. So quick example, I went virtual long before anybody else, because I just realized, like, even if when I was still doing local clients, like now I have clients in England and Australia, all around the world. But when I was still doing local clients a good 12 years ago, I still went on virtual because I could realize, oh, I don't have to include traveling time and sit outside their desk, wait for them to come get me. I could just hit a button and go to the next one. But when I was still doing physical appointments, I would sit there taking notes on my desk, on my lap and taking notes, because marketing, everything is very custom and everybody thinks they're very unique. And they want all these details and they're telling you stories. And I would come back to my office and I would hand to God promise that I would put these notes right into the computer. Now that never happened. What happened, if I was lucky, I got them in that Friday afternoon. Sometimes it was like the next Friday. And what I would tell you is the potential client would call sometimes and ask a question. And I've got the opportunity to be one of two people. One, I'm scrambling. They can hear me scrambling. I'm trying to get the papers because I'm trying to read these notes that were meant for 20 minutes. And heaven help me, what if I misquoted them? It looked like I'm trying to swindle them, when in fact, I just have bad notes. They were meant for 20 minutes, not for 2 weeks, right? And the second person was, I could just look like I'm unprepared, right? It was just awful. So I thought there's got to be another way. So at the time, I found a transcriptionist, and I would go to the meetings. I would sit in the car afterwards. I would just talk into my phone, and I would talk, and then she would just transcribe it and put it right into the computer within 24 hours. Now, I don't understand this, but this was her jam. She loved doing this. She had like 10 clients. And so she was really fast. So some weeks I needed her for a couple hours worth of appointments. Some weeks I needed her for none. The weeks that I needed her for a few hours, it cost me like $12. And that's when I was like, wow, okay, hold on now. Let's get this. What? And so that gave me all of Friday afternoon back. It took up it relieved me so much stress. It made sure that I didn't misquote somebody or lose a client or start off on a bad foot. It just changed the game for me completely of how I saw what my options were. And I realized up until then, I just thought I need to have all this money that I thought like the employee mindset from the corporate world, hire full time and all the expense and all this stuff. And, you know, $12, like, I don't care how broke you are, you can afford $12, right? And if you can't afford that, if you can't afford a VA, then that means you really need a VA because you should be out there making more money. And you're the one that I call with the 3 Ds, the most damaging overhead in your business is you.
Oh, hold up. 3 Ds. I love 3 Ds, 3 Cs, 3 R. What are the 3 Ds?
The 3 Ds are damaging overhead, delayed income, diminished opportunity. So damaging overhead, I'd like you to imagine, let's keep the math simple, that you could sell something of your services for $100. When you are grinding it out and thinking you're doing a good job and staying later and doing something at 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you are actually charging your company $100. And you would never pay that fee to do some admin work, but you are the damaging overhead. And you're not even taking into account that that person then could refer you to somebody or what's the lifetime value of that customer, all that stuff. You are the most expensive damaging overhead to your business. The second one is delayed income. If you get a client, you know, that in June that you could have had in February, oh my gosh, now how much is that costing you? Plus, what if they referred you to one or two other people, right? And then the most painful of all of them, I call diminished opportunity. When somebody says, oh my gosh, I wish I'd met you last month. I think you'd be better fit for us, but we already hired somebody and we're committed to that, that does what you do. And so those are the 3 Ds that I would tell you, you have no idea how much it's costing your business. And when I work with my clients, they often tell me that within the first month of working with us, they get 25 hours back a week. But they also say that we conservatively save them about $50,000 a year because there was all this money bleeding out with the 3 Ds that they didn't even know about.
Yeah, I like that. So you mentioned, you kind of touched slightly on it, referrals. Do you have a referral process? And if so, what does that look like?
Yeah. Well, the referral process is getting tricky for me because my clients are global. And so last week I had somebody, I, for the most part, I don't have, you know, I'm not a big affiliate type gal. So I don't run, you know, my program through a lot of other people and stuff, just because it's a very, when you're working with us, it's very customized, no matter, even if you're in our bigger, you know, Winner's Circle Masterclass. So we tend to meet people that come through it. The nature of the beast of who I work with, they look really good online. So they tend to talk to me when they feel comfortable. And then they pull me over the side, go, hey, yeah, I look good online, but I'm working 200 hours a week. I was wondering, could you tell me more about this? Right. So it's not something that bodes well to like massive pushing out there and admit, you know, your downfalls and come forward. But when somebody does send a referral to me, I do really want them to feel appreciated and thanked. So I try to be as creative as I can. But just last week I had somebody and she's in Switzerland. I'm in Canada. So I was like, okay, I've got a US bank account. Maybe I could, you know, it's tacky, but I was just going to send her $100 because I had called Amazon and Amazon's like, well, yeah, you've got a .com account, even because in Canada you have a .ca, but I still have a .com account as well. But if she doesn't have a .com account, like I don't know in Switzerland, if they have a Switzerland account and then a .com account, then she wouldn't get the gift certificate I wanted to send her. So it's sometimes when it's more global, it gets a little trickier and you have to be a little bit more creative because even mailing them something, I'm not as enthusiastic about mailing them swag. And then again, they might not get it, you know, so whatever. Anyhow, so I'm still trying to do a better job of that.
Yeah, for sure. Nothing like a good referral exchange when you have a center influence and oftentimes you got to give to get, right?
Yeah. But I do always thank them with a video and I really try to cheer them on at any capacity or allow them to pick my brain. Like I really want them to feel appreciated very much so, but I, you know, that's all well and good, but if you can put something, you know, that very memorable in their pocket in the realm of cash of some capacity, that also lights people up a little bit more. Yeah. As I used to say when I was in university waitressing, working in a steakhouse, it's like, yeah, don't say, oh, thanks so much. Yeah, don't thank me, tip me. You know, so you want to, thanking is nice, but money's even nicer.
That's right. Yeah. And the best compliment that you can get is a referral, for sure.
Yeah.
Who are the three people who have been the most influential to you?
Let's see. I would have to say my mother. I would have to say my husband. And who would be the third one? Oh, the third one, I would just have to split up amongst so many mentors. My mother just always has this, you know, you can do anything attitude. There's nothing you could tell her you wanted to do that she wouldn't say, yeah, I think you could do it, right? She was just no nonsense. So go get it done, in a very positive attitude. And my husband's advice, I didn't always listen to, but he was always right. And only because he's not here will I admit to that. So his big thing was always slow down, and I'm trying to walk through a door before I open it. And, you know, what he was always big about relationships. And that is something I definitely dropped the ball on in the beginning, because I would be so busy and I would have a, you know, make a new connection, and then I'd be busy, 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 and I wouldn't have any reason to connect with them. Like I would, like I'm busy, right? So unless there was something I could, you know, why did I have a reason to call that person? Like, not just for small talk. So I realized it didn't take me too long to painfully realize that I was rotating relationships instead of maintaining them or nurturing them. So that was, you know, that, like, there's relationships. It's like, oh, that I should, I'm really sorry I lost touch with that person. And now there's just no going back there. Right. So there were some painful lessons by, and of course, if you're like me, he was not in the entrepreneurial world at all. So he'd give me this really great advice, and I'd be like, oh, you don't have business. You don't understand. Like, this is different, whatever. Right. So it doesn't fit here. And then I was like, oh, he was so right. So yeah. And then a bunch of really good entrepreneurs that mentors, that's a game changer. Anybody that's good at anything, you know, we know Michael Jordan had a coach, like everybody, Tiger Woods, like, you just cannot be established enough that there isn't somebody that, you know, you need to have a constant mentor. I've always paid for mentors and coaching.
Yeah. I liked how you differentiated relationships from rotating them and maintaining and nurturing them. Because a lot of times in telesales, especially, we rotate a lot of relationships and we don't maintain and nurture them. And that's why I always recommend to have somebody that like a customer service specialist, retention specialist, that can kind of mediate those relationships as well. So that's really important. And so you mentioned some mentors. Who were some of your mentors along the way?
Well, I could drop a bunch of names. I don't know if you'd know any of them. Let's see, James Malinchek from ABC Secret Millionaire. I still work very closely with him. He's an awesome mentor. Let's see. Yeah, I would just be bunch. I'd be like one of those annoying people on a Academy show where they're listing all the guys that work behind. You know, I don't know, who cares, right? Yeah. So they're not going to mean much to you, but they certainly, definitely, it's everything. Like, why not learn from somebody else's mistakes and their success? And you know what? You can only see out. You can't see in. So I've even had, you know, marketing mentors that, yeah, they've been in business longer than me or make more money than me, but you know, I do really well. My marketing clients love me. And then you'll have your mentor tell you something. You're like, oh my gosh, I tell that to my clients all the time, but I didn't see that in my business. Like, this is insanity. You can't see the picture when you're, you know, in the frame. So you just need somebody looking at you from a different angle.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we appreciate you stopping by today. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can check me in any of the socials, you know, reach out to me, LinkedIn, Facebook, all that stuff. And like I said, if anything was at all interesting to you today, we are having this free masterclass tomorrow that you can check out. And yeah, I'm always here to have fun and talk business.
All right. How do people sign up for your masterclass for tomorrow?
Yeah, you can just reach out to me anywhere. I can put it in the link. I can put that here before we leave. And look how local it is. Watch this.
Oh, put it in the chat.
On.
All right, go ahead.
Put it in the chat. And here you go. There we go. Well, y'all sit there, watch me work. How much fun is that, right? Okay. It's in the chat.
Working hard sucks and it's costing you money.
Yes. All right. Yes.
All right, cool. All right, Chris, thanks again for stopping by, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. Have fun, everyone. Yay. So let me just ask you, put up one thumb if you got anything out of this, even one thing that you either forgot you knew, it reminded you, or something new. One thumb. All right. There we go. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you.